The other topics that we get into, there will be a sense of course. And one of the things that we're trying to navigate here in these sessions is we're not wanting to be needlessly offensive, but some of the topics that we're bringing forward only make sense if you understand some of what is being discussed in missions today. And Ron's time on our God is a clear communicator. No one has ever come through the front door and said that God is mixed up. God can't make a clear sentence. God cannot communicate with clarity. No one is saying these things. But the reality is clear communication doesn't seem to have a high value. And we see that not because people are attacking the character of God, but the come see, come saw cavalierness toward missionaries becoming fluent in the languages that they minister in. That is a reality. Let me get this back here. The reason that we're doing this, guys, the reason that we're going to take a session here on the necessity of becoming fluent, how do you get fluent, isn't because we at Radius or at any of our churches would want to see people worshiping language. We're not here to see worshipers of language or people just talking about how fluent they are and, man, how broad is your vocabulary? How cool can you sound? You know, how many illustrations can you give with what type of a background and how culturally, man, are you able to navigate? You know, we're not out to write papers on this stuff. The reason we take time to teach our students how to communicate clearly and the absolute necessity of it is there is no way to assure the clarity of the gospel. We're not geeked up about language. We are geeked up about the gospel. And people must understand the gospel. And that's on the missionary. To make the gospel clearly available is on the missionary. I hope you have your Bibles. Most of you do. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These things are rooted in Scripture, and that's what we're going back to again and again. We cannot cross that bridge. We cannot bring conviction of sin. Missionaries cannot bring a man low before the Word of God. There is so much that the human vessel cannot do. But in fact, Scripture does speak of, the Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He speaks to us in verse 18. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's on us. He could have done it through rocks, through clouds, through streams, through trees. We know that there's nature out there, and if he wanted to, and he did do it through a burning bush. He could speak through burning bushes all the time or through donkeys. You know? Why he confined himself to us, we don't know. That's another discussion. We can't get into that here. But make no mistake about it. He has confined himself to us. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Clarity of the gospel is on us. The Holy Spirit is not doing something differently overseas than he's doing here. It's on you and I, with our neighbor, with our teammates, with our friends, with our families, to make the gospel clearly understood. What they do with a message that makes sense, that's on the Spirit of God, on the God of heaven, to bring conviction of sin and all the things that are out of our domain. The clarity of the gospel is on us. One of the reasons we're having this, Beth and I came back from New Guinea in 1999. Let me give you a little background. Most of you know this, and I had one guy tell me this story. He says, "Brad, I've heard you share your E-Teddy story 8 times. I've never heard you say anything else. I don't know if you can do it." And I'll be honest with you, man, I share that story a lot, and some of you have heard it, and there is actually a little more to the story, and we're going to get into some of the background of that. But we got to New Guinea in 1979. We had already, during our training, we had begun to learn Melanesian Pidgin. We got to the field, and Melanesian's a very simple language to learn, okay? It only took us a few more months. That's what taught me working now. We talk Pidgin in, suppose you put in Gupa, Yalong and Baino Plaharim, that's a thing by Hat Lilik, all seminal got plenty below you, believe in come up long this Plahap. That's a behind. By going top, now looking people, and by Rasan can keep you stop and say, "Lo, Yablo, you know, by the flow looking too." Now we got plenty one talking, come up, love Papua New Guinea, and see if the province in. I mean, I'm still looking face long. I mean, good for something through, and a native in, plenty monkey, you stop, about, all in the Plahadis to talk to clear to mass. Okay, that's the first language that we had to learn. That was relatively easy because Melanesian's easy for one thing, and we had headphones, we had instructors. We had a controlled environment. We had a lot of things in our favor helping us. It was all written out. Somebody had gone before. Then we moved interior. And we're not going to get into this a lot this morning, especially in this session, but our job is to get the gospel to those remaining people groups. The fact is that there were hundreds, if not thousands, of churches functioning in Melanesian. They did not need another set of missionaries going to speak in Melanesian. But there were, at that point there, about 400 interior tribes in the island of Papua New Guinea needing a clear gospel presentation. And so we went interior, began learning their language, a totally different set of dynamics there. Obviously, the people that we worked with had never had outsiders live with them. We had to, man, just the physicalness of it. I was gone from Beth days, weeks at a time, hiking, hunting, traveling. You'll see some photos here in the presentation this morning. What it took to get fluent in their language, a few months to speak Melanesian, it would take a little over 30 months, spread out over 4 years. A month of language study is at least 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 40-hour weeks. You get less than that, you're going to lengthen your time for learning that language. And we're going to talk about what is fluency. We have enough people come down and talk about the level of language that they're getting to in the various locations. Radius has a good stream, and we are blessed, and we want to continue to encourage come down. But the gap between where missionaries are getting and where they could get, if they had a bird's eye, a laser lock on the necessity of learning the language. Not because we worship language, but because we want the gospel to be clear. And so it took us 30 months to learn their language. We shared the gospel with the Itetis. After that, I was given a year to be fully involved with the Iteti people, seeing those baby believers begin to develop. And then I was tapped on the shoulder, okay, time for you to ante up, and this is pretty common. And I was given 2 years of training, formal and informal, on how to be a language and culture consultant. And then for the last 11 years we were in New Guinea, I was traveling around checking various missionaries' language capacity and how they were progressing. Probably 40 different missionaries over the years had a part in their language, them getting going forward in language. Seeing a lot of failures, seeing a lot of victories, and many of the failures were avoidable. Okay, a lot of it goes to focusness, a lot of it goes to realistic expectations, a lot of factors in there. And make no mistake about it, I never checked a person who hadn't been trained. I never checked a person. The agency I was with, New Tribes Mission, they trained their people on how to learn languages. Do missionaries have a chance of learning a language without proper training? Yeah. We kind of joke about it down there, but we figure maybe 5% of the people heading overseas as career missionaries, 5% of those people with no training at all, they could do the job. They're brilliant. They're just flat out brilliant, okay? I can't relate, but I know those guys exist, okay? I think I've met one, maybe two, okay? In all the years I was in New Guinea, met a couple of those guys. Frank was one of them. They're there. I acknowledge that 5% of those guys need no training whatsoever. Just levitate them from here to the Gobi Desert, they're going to do fine. 25% of the missionaries heading overseas, you could train them for 40 years. They're never going to be able to do it. They should not be going overseas. That's a church issue. They're not being vetted by their churches, okay? And they, there's no amount of training that's going to make them capable of being efficient in a cross-cultural context. But guys, that leaves about a big gap of 70% of the guys. And I'm going off of, man, literally scores and scores of missionaries that I tested, that I observed, and while I was on the field, and then guys that I've interacted with since then. About 70% of the people that are going overseas become ineffective when they get there due to lack of training. They could be effective. They have no idea of what they're up against. And the first issue they're going to hit when they get to the field is, how do I get past the language barrier? One of the common things that's being told or being assumed and given to missionaries now is, yeah, language is nice, but it's not necessary. It's a nice thing. It's really good. I've never interacted with a mission agency that said language is unnecessary. Language is completely unnecessary. In fact, most that I'm hearing is, oh yeah, we believe in language and culture. We believe in language and culture, fluency. We're going to talk about fluency. No one that I've heard is saying language is completely unimportant. Now, I did have one individual as in one of the major cities of the United States just a few months ago, and this woman who'd been a career missionary, 25 years, full-time engaged in the missions enterprise, as we talked about the need for this couple that was looking to get funding to take care of their debts, and they would have made a great missionary couple, but they said in the interview, they gave indications that they were not serious. They did not understand what they were going to be getting into regarding learning the language and culture of the people. And I made the remark that, man, I think they could make a great couple, but I'm not sure they're really understanding what they're getting into. And the woman made the statement, learning the language and culture, that's old school. Don't need to do that anymore. That's out there, folks. And this woman is buried deep within the missions enterprise. She has a voice, and she speaks with authority. Now, she was very much in the clear, and that was surprising. What's more common is the less clear voices, but absolutely working off of that premise. Language and culture fluency, that's really nice if you get it, but it's not critical. Make no mistake about it. There is no way to communicate the gospel clearly with any degree of certainty other than God doing a miracle. If you're banking on a miracle, God's doing miracles all the time to bring our speech and bring light. But if you're banking on a donkey to step into the equation, that's not a good methodology to go to the field with. And that's exactly what's literally happening at times is, man, God's going to pull off a donkey. God's going to give me a bush. He's going to give me a bush. Some of this stuff sounds like just common sense. As we talk about language this morning, I want to make sure that we understand we're not talking about language in the level of going to Germany and being able to order dinner at a German restaurant. That's not the level of language fluency we're talking about here. Faking out the pilot. I remember my first few years of language study in New Guinea, and I was moving into where I could string some phrases together. And actually, if I strung the phrases together well, I could have a 4 or 5 minute conversation with an Itete guy standing there, and the pilot who flew in once every couple weeks, he'd be totally impressed, and he'd be like saying these really encouraging things. Man, that's so cool, man, you're awesome, you're just rolling with it. Like, yeah, I'm pretty special. I'm pretty unique. Yeah, it doesn't come easy, but it does come. Yeah, it's just me. Yeah, and I could do that, and I loved that. My ego needed that because I was getting crushed by 5-year-old kids on a regular basis, okay? And I knew how to navigate around all those topics that the 5-year-olds are just going with, you know, but I could keep going with one-liners. That's not fluency. It's not at all what we're talking about here. We're not talking about military fluency. We'll talk about the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California, where they train hundreds, if not thousands, of guys every year. And they train them to read it, to write it, to listen to it, and then hopefully maybe some will actually be able to speak it. We're reversing that. Our communicators need to speak the gospel. They need to speak. That's the highest level of communication. That's also the hardest one to get to. To read it, that comes easy. To write it, come on, we've been working with paper and pencil all of our lives. To even hear it, your ears will tune up much quicker. Last thing is the tongue. And that is the thing in focus as gospel messengers, living vehicles that can speak a musical sound and make the God of heaven come alive in a 3D, various toned way. The tongue without the tongue. That's why missionaries line up in droves. I remember, man, when I was one of the field leaders, I want to be the translator. Oh, it's so nice to sit in front of that screen and work with digits and characters, electronic stuff, and the fans on you. And, you know, it's all graphable. To be the teacher, to have your tongue loose to where you can bring the Word of God. It's a higher goal. But we must have our missionaries focusing on that. So that's what we're talking about, folks, is people getting to that level. I'm not here to embarrass to make light of other sacrifices. We read the quote from David Hesselgrave. The reality is, guys, most of the missionaries you know are not fluent in the languages, okay? Not because they're bad guys. That is not the case. The missions enterprise now has come so full circle that missionaries are not told from the time they get to, by the time they fill out their first questionnaire, you know you're going to have to learn a language, and you're probably going to have to learn two, and you're going to have to learn them really, really well. That is quietly avoided. It's quite a concern what's going on out there. How can it be? One of the current reasons is this. God is using other means. Effective gospel workers do not need to be linguistically fluent. He's using other means. Used to be that way, but God's doing a new thing. You've heard that phrase. Believe me, Ron and I especially, we're trying to not just beat you up with a few phrases that we hear on a regular basis, but these are the get-out-of-jail-free cards that are being tossed around in so many of the conversations. God's doing a new thing. One of the new things. Angels, dreams, miracles. Angels, dreams, miracles. Well, man, I'll tell you what. We'll go through some scripture, especially tomorrow, regarding that. Man, has God used angels in the past? And does he use them today? I believe he does. Miracles? Man, I'm thankful. I prayed that God would give me the gift of tongues. I prayed for 2 years. And God said, nah. Nah, not giving it to you. You're going to have to work for it. And I found that to be pretty much the case. But man, if God gives you the gift of tongues, I have no problem with that. But you better be ready to learn a language. If that is your method that you're banking on, that an angel will do it, a dream will do it, a miracle will come to pass, and I won't have to do the hard work, you should never leave the USA. You're not prepared. You're not mentally fit to go and be a gospel ambassador. And as churches, and I know we have churches that have missionaries that are looking to train. Some of you just have churches that are very involved in the missions enterprise. Are they ready for the hard work of language acquisition? It is not just going to happen. Began to see as the mission agency, New Tribes that I was with, got larger and larger. I remember going through training when Beth and I went through in the late 70s, and we heard with one voice, with one clear voice, it will be the hardest thing you ever do to learn the language, the insider language. Big difference between learning primary languages, gateway languages, languages of wider communication, they go by a number of names, and the insider language. Learning the insider language will be the hardest thing you ever do. It's a physically daunting endeavor besides just the mentalness of it too. But I heard that with one voice to where I was ready. And then as the clock went by, missionaries that were in training, even with that great organization, began to hear a variety of voices. Oh, you'll just get it. You'll get it. Yeah, learn this stuff, but you'll get it. And they came to the field less highly tuned up, ready to lay it down and work hard to get that language. You arrive on the field and you have a, I'll get it, it'll just kind of happen mentality toward that. You're dead in the water. You're dead before you even started. There's actually a phrase that's used a lot, might be up here, but you'll get that over there. You'll get that overseas. You'll find, one of the terms is, you'll find a Yoda overseas that will just somehow suck it out of his brain and put it into your brain. It's kind of like a thumb drive. He'll just upload it through your ear. Nobody's getting uploaded languages, okay? There's no new mentality that dawns on you when you get to the field. You go to the field highly ready, understanding this will be the hardest thing I ever do, as well as starting that business or entry platform. And to get into the closed countries that we're targeting, guys, we just had to learn the insider language. We had to maintain a lifestyle and keep body and soul together in the middle of the jungle. That had its own issues. But getting into a closed country in a legitimate way and getting 40 hours a week on top of it in language, that is a huge challenge. And missionaries need to go to the field equipped to make good use of those 40 hours a week. Angels, dreams, miracles. You don't need to do it because those things will just happen. God's doing a new thing. I've got the book. I almost brought the book down, but I didn't want to be overly controversial. Angels, dreams, visions. God's doing a new thing. New day and age. This is another one. No one has time to get fluent. You'll get kicked out too soon. Man, that's why we need to work on 2 years, because, man, we're there on an NGO visa. Man, we just don't have time. They're going to get kicked out, and you know what? That has happened, absolutely. But, folks, also, we need to be big boys. It is big boy time. And the fact is, missionaries have been getting kicked out for long enough. That's no longer a good excuse. That's no longer a noble excuse. We got kicked out. We need to be doing better before we go. We need to have more serious, more workable, more respectable entry platforms. It's been talked about by Chad, Ron's mentioned it. You'll hear it throughout the rest of the conference here. We need to go there and equip guys not just to learn languages, not just to learn cultures, not just to do translations, not just to see the gospel preached clearly, and church is developed, they need to be trained to do those things. They also need to be ready to have a legitimate entry strategy to be in a closed country a long, long, long time. Because what we're talking about doesn't make sense if you get kicked out after 2 years. And it can be done. It is being done. It takes longer. The prep time. The show up and go through 3 weeks of candidate school. We'll get you overseas. We got an NGO. And you'll be there. It's just really cool. That's not working. That's a one-way ticket home. Okay. Let's all save our time. Let's save our finances. We can do better. That is one. And here's the one that probably irks me the most. This generation won't make the sacrifices involved to get fluent. This current generation is somehow inherently weaker. They are less committed to the Lord Jesus. They're less overwhelmed with gratitude. They don't have it like guys 40, 50, 100 years ago. We're not raising up Adoniram Judsons. I beg to differ. We see it all the time. Young men and women, man, prepare them well. Speak clearly. Help them to understand the clarity of the gospel hangs on you being a clear communicator, you living long enough in a hard situation, you going to the field with a mentality, yes, you're ready to watch your wife get handled. You're ready to watch your children get beat up. You've thought that through. You're not going to put a Piper message on and have one 60-minute, you know, okay, now we've covered that base. That takes time for those values, that ethos, to sink down into a person's core DNA, to where the honor of being a gospel communicator is so tangible to them. Yes, I will go through that. They need to be walked through those things. There are young people all over the place. We've just, I feel like my generation, honestly, has sold so many of them down the drain. They're too weak. They're too distracted. They won't do it. They will do it. We see them all the time. For you guys that, unfortunately, your tour down there, there'll be no students there. I wish you could meet these guys and get to know them. But that just doesn't hold water at all. Okay, I've gotten to one of my 20 pages of notes, and we're halfway done. Fluency. What is fluency? Okay, let's just talk about that, because people that come down to Radius after a while, like, yeah, I think they talk to each other. They talk a lot about fluency. They're going to press you on how fluent were you. And so guys come down there and I could make it, what was it, $50,000 purchase? I was fluent. I can make a purchase. Okay, that's not fluency, guys. You can make a $5 purchase or a $5 million purchase. Numbers are easy. Those are quick downs to get, okay? That's an easy level of language. That is not fluency, being able to make a purchase in a market. Fluency is not being able to handle a situation. Policeman pulled me over, and I could tell him where I was going. Fluent? Yes? No? No, it's a lot more than that. It's not telling a story. I memorized a story, and man, I regurgitated it, so I'm a Bible storier now. I'm a clear communicator, because this story I've memorized, that's not fluency. Because once the first guy raises his hand and asks a question, you're dead in the water, okay? You better be able to navigate a conversation. This is not fluency. Fluency is not hearing words and answering in phrases. That's not fluency. These are obvious things. Fluent people, these are the realms that people are able to communicate in. Man, the abstract, the esoteric, the nuances of the heart, the differences between hungry and starving, the differences between, man, I'm at peace with this versus resignation. Those subtle things, that's where the gospel lives. That's where the gospel comes to life. That's how God met us, bringing us beyond shame. Because I'm ashamed of a lot of things that I won't be in judgment on before a holy, righteous God. Bringing us beyond shame to actual guilt due to my sin. Okay? Now, is there overlap? Of course there's overlap, but the clear communicator can bring the two apart. Fluent people use adult vocabulary to tightly weave abstract content in and through day-to-day and unique one-off events. They do not need to plan out their verbal interactions. They're able to roll as the moment allows them to. That's fluency. That's where people need to get to. It took us months to get to that point. And even then, let me tip my hat to the learning curve, okay? Absolutely, there's a learning curve. And when I was able to be clear with the gospel, I remember standing up the first day in front of the Teddy's. The whole village was there. And that's going to be very rare, if non-existent, in the places where Radius graduates are going. You're not going to be standing up before a group of guys. But when I finally turned from the full-time learner to the communicator, scared to death, nervous. Oh my gosh, it was all there. But I hadn't been in that position. You know what though? After a week of communicating and leading, man, in the teaching of the Word of God, man, the tongue began to get freed up in a way that I knew was there. I knew I'd done it in 10 and 15 minute segments. Of course, there's a learning curve here. We'd been there 7 years before we saw the first people come to Christ. After 14 years, let me back up here. 7 years to that point there. We moved in 1979. In 1991, I'd been a translator now for 4 years. And we threw everything away because we had learned so much more. We'd lived among them at that point for 12 years. And our level of language capacity, we could hear the language in our head, the sing-song, the ebb and flow. You can get there as an outsider. Just got to live there among them for a long time. That's fluency. Those are beginning stages. I put that in there because Nemanio could not speak a word of Melanesian. It was a completely Stone Age man. My wife was the first outside woman this guy ever saw. He couldn't, it just blew him away. And Nemanio was leading me in a culture session. They were talking about something or other, but I never knew, used Nemanio because his language was so weird, but he stretched me all over the place. That was Nemanio. Are there limitations to fluency? Because that's a discussion. Outsiders can never get fluent. I've heard that from some very authoritative voices. I lived in Japan for X amount of years. I lived in Shanghai for X amount of years. Those are the two places I've heard guys who resided there. I don't believe outsiders can ever get fluent. Well, let's talk about that because, man, there are limitations to your fluency. The reality of birth. The fact is I wasn't born in Nebraska, and so I can't talk to a Nebraska guy as if I played Pop Warner football with him and, you know, mowed down corn with him or whatever they do in Nebraska. I don't have that firsthandness of being a Nebraska guy, okay? I don't even know Nebraska politics, you know, national or local politics. There's a lot. I can't have that. But I can share the gospel with a guy from Nebraska, okay? And so am I fluent at that level? No. Can you recreate your juvenile years in Uzbekistan? Of course not. But you can get to a point linguistically that really becomes a very small factor. We do it all the time. Technically, come on, man, talk about, you know, there's guys here talking about automatic transmissions, 80s music. We were overseas for the 80s. We weren't here. I don't know anything about it. Politics in Nepal. There's all kinds of particular areas, okay? Technically, they're all over the place. Countless technical areas that everyone in this room would just have to take a pass, and you're quiet in that conversation until it comes back around. And you're absolutely capable of being a gospel communicator to that person. So are there limitations to fluency? Of course there are. Okay, let's be clear. But we can get to a serious level of language. Language is the main ingredient of culture. You've all heard of Matthew 28. Therefore go make disciples of all nations. Ethnically, the ethnically linguistically differentiated peoples, those are what Jesus has commanded us to target. The number one factor in ethnic differentiation is language. Language is the primary metric of how we allocate our gospel resources. It is the primary metric. Go back there to Genesis chapter 11 when God had it with the people doing their thing. What does he do? Does he scatter them? Does he change the shape of their eyes and scatter them due to the eye shape? Does he create political rifts and they scatter because of political rifts? Skin color changes, hey, you're dark like me, you're kind of tan like me, you're green like me, you're blue like, let's go, let's gravitate toward the, changes their languages. He changes their languages. That's the means for differentiation. And then Genesis 12, he's going to begin to gather them back. And what's he going to gather back? The peoples, the families of the earth. One thing about families, they can have different occupations, they can have different religions, they can have different, all kinds of things. They're going to have the same language. It's language. We're not even going to go into the Matthew 28 and Luke 24, the ethnic. Hopefully that's been clear enough to you. When God begins to do a new thing in Acts chapter 2, what is the stunning factor that happens that first day? The language is here, the same message. Don't ask me why. I can't tell you that. Language is big to our God. He does want to see those from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Man, we get that with clarity. And we've made language differentiation a subservient metric. Well, you know, there's those religions. We got the tribal, the Hindu, the unevangelized Muslim, the Buddhist. And those are nice metrics. Those are nice, understandable, tangible graphics so that we can, okay, that's cool. Or are they on the north or south side of the river? Are they of this political persuasion, that political persuasion? We've heard a lot of ways for parsing up people groups. The primary. The biblically, and that's why we had Chad go first, because the scriptures are our authority. We cannot be cavalier. We cannot be just random because this makes more sense. There's more people speaking that. We go off the scriptures. And the revelation that we have says language is primary. So it's not a thing that we do if we can. Our missionaries that are going to live strategically, they learn one language to function in the country, then they learn the second language because that might be the unreached people group, and they might have to learn three languages, okay? But that's what they do because it is a primary concern to our God that every tongue, tribe, and nation hear. And once the gospel is available and again, we're going off the numbers of John Piper, Cross Conference 2013, I think it was, Joseph, was it? He's got better guys than I do. Yeah, 3,000 languages. 3,000 languages untouched by the gospel. Let's get the gospel to them first, and then we can go, well, they're on north side or south side of the border. Then they're on this. Then there's other factors we can put into that equation. But to talk about those differentiations before we make the gospel available to every language group, guys, that's not biblical. Early days, back in there in Itedi, man. I was 28 years old. I weighed less there than I did when I was 15 years old in high school. Learning language, a brutal endeavor. And if you're not mentally ready for it, it isn't just going to happen. And let me tell you guys, I had guys behind me kicking me in the butt all the time. Keep going. You're not there. You're not there. You're not there. You're not there. I was with an agency that did that. I thank God for that because I'm not a super highly motivated guy most of the time, especially when I'm breaking my brain and it's not coming easily and I'm tired of the 5-year-old kids laughing at me. Most agencies that your people are going to be going out with, they're not going to be going out with agencies that say, keep going, get fluent, you're not there yet. So we must train them down there. Ron talked about driving stakes in the ground. You talk to any one of our students. They've got those stakes down there. We will get fluent no matter what we're being told, no matter what the example of various ones on the field who have been there 15 years and they're getting by. That's cool. And we're not going to be arrogant, and we're not going to be judgmental, and we're not going to, you know, look askance at you, but we will get fluent because the gospel is at stake, folks. Weird. Language variances. Okay, we talked about that. Confusion of languages. Talked about that. Gosh. Okay. Talked about that. We could talk about that. My wife. The downsides of PowerPoint. Ron's over there laughing. Man, Brad, do a PowerPoint? I don't do PowerPoint. Any you guys at Perspectives House class ever seen me do a PowerPoint? No, that's not me. Okay, keys to successful language learning. Guys, he's got to be convinced. He's got to be convinced. Not just aware of, but absolutely convinced. To the core of his being, I cannot be a clear gospel communicator unless I'm fluent. If he has an out clause, if he feels like, well, once in a while God just shows up and he'll show up for me, the motivation is hard enough to maintain. He's got to be convinced. He's got to recover from a culture where his attention span has been diminished. Nonstop stimulus, computer, hello, iPhone, cell phone, whatever, you know, iPad. Man, our ability to free range all over the place. Most of you guys are aware, students that come down to us, they spend their first 5 months with no computer access. They're offline, no telephone. They recover their attention span. I remember as I saw this happening in New Guinea, I was one of the language guys, and I actually lobbied for 2 years until I figured it's just dead in the water. Because with all the benefits the computer had, the downsides to the attention span. I felt like missionaries were losing out. I lobbied for the first term on the field when a missionary is in language study, let him not bring a computer to the field. Well, how will they communicate? How will they? I know. But I'm not speaking of how they're going to keep in touch with the home church. But for their language and culture acquisition, do not let them bring a computer to the field. It's a placebo. The downsides of that screen, the eroding of the attention span. Now, missionaries can not only learn languages with a computer, they can be online from the middle of the jungle. Come on, I've got two sons that are doing it. Not abusing it. In fairness to my kids, we told them when they went to the field, you don't pick up the telephone. Our kids went to the field, and everything's changed. When Beth and I, it wasn't because we were noble when we went to the field. We were lonely. We were really, really lonely. That's just the way it was, because communication didn't exist back then. Now, the next generation, the generation going out now, it will be a mark of their character that they do not call you every month, that they do not connect with their home church, that they do not have Facebook. They do not use social media. That's a mark of character. That's a hard choice because they are lonely. And it's funner. And it's very prone. And I get them all the time. And folks, I do not hold that against guys because they haven't been trained to do any less than that. Missions Enterprise is silent on these things. But we can't be silent anymore if we're going to have guys getting through new impediments to fluency. And it is an impediment. It's not unusual. It can make great use of 2 hours in the day. I remember when I was a language consultant, one of the things they had to do for me to come in and give them my language check, they had to send me their timesheets. Missionary candidates, Radius students are on timesheets the whole time they're down at Radius. We know where every 15 minutes of their day goes, okay? They write it out. It's a very restricted life. They learn how to make great use of every 15 minutes. Before I would leave my work and go into another tribe, I wanted their time sheets. From the last 6 months, I want your time charts. I want to know where your time has gone. And guys would, I got malaria. They take the whole week off. Hey, we all know malaria does not knock you out for a whole week. And man, to go in there and be Darth Vader. Malaria, I know I've had malaria. All my kids have had malaria. It takes 2.5 days to get over malaria. Why are you taking three full days to get over malaria? These are the choices. These are the mental mindsets that guys who are going to get language and be tenacious and high-functioning, they've got to be drilled and prepared in such ways, or they'll go and hang out overseas. And believe me, after a while, entropy sets in. Just, I've been here so long, my home church is expecting something. I'm getting better, but you know, it's not busting loose for me. I'm just going to go into it, and something good is going to happen, and you're capped. Oh, and you've heard this rubric. You know what? We're really going to pour ourselves into language for the first 6 months, and then we're going to begin a gradual switch out. We're going to phase to where we do 5 hours a day in language and 3 in ministry, or 35 in language and 5 in ministry for a week. Make no mistake about it, folks. And these are the things that churches must be schooled in. Once a missionary begins to dip his toe in the water of ministry, his advancement in the language is done. Now, I'm not saying you don't have religious conversations. But when you're planning out your time and your ministry begins to get, oh, I'm only 25% in ministry, you're done. You're done. Ministry is so satisfying. That's the thing you dream about. That's the thing where your free time endeavors go to. That's the thing that's, again, energizing you. And language study is rugged. It's unfulfilling until you get to the very last few months of it. Guys, it's just hard, hard work. For churches to know that, well, he's actually 75% in language study. No, he's done. He's done. Saw it happen again and again. The person is high functioning. He keeps his social needs small. He is self-imposedly lonely. He is lonely. He is not picking up his cell phone. He has one because he's a modern-day missionary, and it's good to have one. Okay, I'm an advocate of having the communication link. I'm death on using it, unless you're dying. Okay, and let's keep you alive because you haven't done your ministry yet. Okay. CLA approach. Another thing that the well-equipped missionary needs to have. He needs to have an approach. Okay, now Rosetta Stone's out there. It's been out there for 20 plus years. I don't advocate it for secondary languages because they don't have it in secondary languages. Okay, all they have is mainline languages, so it's not even in the game. DLI, really cool, except they're actually only interested in you. They turn out very few communicators. How many? When? Where? Those are the questions they're concerned with. It's a military school. They're looking for things that they can get military allocations going, okay? That's what they do. LAMP, Language Acquisition Made Practical, Brewster and Brewster. The first foray into a real codified language learning thing came out in 1976. It's still out there, beneficial. Growing Participator Approach, Greg Thompson. The newest big wave out there. The big improvement of growing of the GPA. Not moving beyond language and culture alone being the focus, that's a big breakthrough. What is called CLA, you'll hear that acronym a lot, culture and language acquisition, that's huge because missionaries for a while, only language. Culture I'll just get, it will just flow into my pores. I'll hang out in the coffee shop and I'll just kind of get it. I'll play enough soccer games, it'll just happen. I'll know how to do marriage counseling because I was in the locker room. I don't know what that works like, but anyway. GPA actually combined culture, language, and relationships. Because obviously, if there's no relationships at the end of your fluency endeavor, you don't have people to share the gospel with, and you don't have friends. You need to have it. And becoming equipped to communicate, another derivative. You need some method. You need to know it well. You need to know that knowing that method, because you can go to Colorado Springs and learn all of the acronyms, and learn the terms, and you're not ready. You can be there for 3 weeks, and you're not ready. You better have practiced and honed. You better have been made to feel silly and stupid for a long time and to begin to come out of that trench. It's really fun to see students at Radius as they come out of, I know nothing, I'm so frustrated. Every 4 and 5 year old kid is talking in circles around me. I'm tired of hailing taxis and having nothing to say. I walk and smile, hola, hola, get down, hola. Yeah, I'm tired of that. And to see them hitting the dip, and they're halfway through this group of students, and to begin to come out of that. And they know that with hard work and years, they could become gospel communicators there. They need to have that. That's critical. They have a way to get past it. They need appropriate training. Come on, guys. This stuff doesn't happen in a local church. I was a missions pastor here for 12 years. Never could communicate this stuff. I don't have the time. People here have very busy lifestyles. In your home church, that's the same thing also. And it's more than just passing on a method of learning a language and culture. If there is not a slow dripping down into their very core, a consecration ideal, that man, I am the Lord's, my wife is the Lord's, my kids are the Lord's. It is an honor to be a gospel ambassador. If that hasn't taken deep root within them, you can give them all the CLA methods you want. They better be ready to suffer. It's been talked about already. Appropriate training, critical. Tim, who is not here, he's in England. He's an Englishman. He is our CLA instructor. I wish you could meet this guy. Phenomenal. He will teach you. He teaches these students a group of about 450 different symbols, digraphs, glots, the whole thing, fricatization, glottalization, all the weird things that Ron was mentioning. And these guys, if you could step into one of their phonetics classes, you'd realize there's serious training that goes into this stuff, just on the language acquisition level. We're not even getting into the church plan. We're not even getting into the entry strategy. How do you go in there and with legitimacy of heart, I'm here to start a business. I'm a successful business guy. This is what we're doing. Man, that takes, to get the mission, I'm lying. No, you're not. That's actually what you're there to do. It takes a lot of hours that Ron gives to them. Appropriate training covers these bases. Some of the different things, the bilabial, labiodental, dental, alveolar, postal, you better know those things, or you're going to talk like a baby. You're going to talk with an accent. You're going to talk, and you think you're saying, thus saith the Lord, and you're actually saying, what about a dog, Donald had a duck? Why don't they listen to me and take me seriously? Boy, they seem to be laughing at me. Why? I don't feel like I'm funny. Missionaries are doing it all the time, and they love the Lord, and they had their devotions that morning. These are critical things. These aren't like, well, that's nice, but it's not really necessary. No, guys, this is training. These are the things they must know. Vowels, we could get into, you know, okay. We've talked about this from a few different angles. As well as training, as well as a culture and language acquisition method, they better have a family-wide understanding of consecration. Why are we here going through this? They need to be talking about these things. They need to be passing them on to their kids, as their kids, for us, it was getting on the airplane. Those were the things that were in front of us. Missionaries going where our radius students are going, their wives are going to get harassed. They're going to go through it. Their kids are going to get beat up. They know that. They need to understand this. They're going to be gone. The main language learner is going to be gone from his family long periods of time. They need to buy into this. They need to understand it's for a season. This will not be forever. But this is going to be a brutally difficult season to get through the language and culture acquisition time of my life without serious arming, trying to 8-to-5 that, trying to, well, I got to keep my number one responsibility is my family. We will actually address that. We will actually take quite a bit of time to address that. This is going to impact your family. And they better know that going in. This is, it's hard stuff. I don't want to get into any more details on that. He goes to the field with realistic time frames. How sad, how embarrassingly sad. It's sad for the missionary. To me, it's embarrassing to hear older missionaries talk about, you know what, after 6 months, you're going to begin to, and I've actually read this in material. Many of you know I do a lot of speaking. And so, man, I hear what others are saying. I read what others are saying. I read other methods that are out there. We have folks who espouse other methods coming down all the time. You better know how long it's going to take you guys to get fluent in these interior languages. They are not easy. It is not Melanesian. It is not Tagalog. There are relatively easy languages out there, and there are very difficult languages out there. Some of the most difficult, Arabic and Mandarin. Well, those are gateway languages. You're gonna take years to learn those well, and then you've still got other stuff to do. You've got a whole nother language. You better understand that your fruitful ministry years are way down the road. And to keep that fire alive, to have the home sending church understanding that, if we're going to go beyond just doing stuff to actually fulfilling the Great Commission, targeting the last people groups on this planet, sending prepared workers, having a church that's standing for decades behind these guys, and understanding that they might not really be able to have a conversation about the gospel first 9-10 years they're there. They're not there as gospel workers in Mandarin. That could jeopardize their ability to go interior. They're going to have to get their business going for the first years that they're in China and learn Mandarin. And then through fluency, and man, the doors that open to the fluent person. Some of you have heard this before, but when Beth and I were there in New Guinea, we'd be out on the coast once in a while, and we always address the storekeepers. We would start off with the storekeepers, addressing them in English. That shows that they're an educated person, we validate them, and then we would switch to Melanesian, because that way there they knew, oh, you really like our country. The doors that would open. And then if we were down at the local hospital, oftentimes the hospital administrators would take us down to the wards where Itedi people would be there, and then we would switch into the Itedi language. Guys, we own the town. Even though the hospital administrator didn't speak Itedi, the fact that I had taken the time to learn that person's language, the doors that will open up, oh, that's closed, can't get permits for that. Learning languages, validating people, loving them at that level, the doors that open. We haven't even begun to knock on those because we haven't taken this whole topic seriously. He goes with realistic time frames. Some of the things that we can do to stack the deck in the favor and for sending churches, and these are things we're talking with missionaries about all the time. He's not buying a vehicle. He's not buying a vehicle. He's using public transportation. He's rubbing shoulders all the time. He doesn't have his cocoon time. Oh, those cars are nice. Oh, I can turn on the radio and I've got my iPod and it has all my American tunes in it. Oh, it's just great. Little America, that little car is little America. Everywhere you go on the planet, I got a car. Boom, language study done. It's funny. Somebody did this in New Guinea. For years and years, the Highlands languages are so much more difficult than the Sipuk languages. Then somebody figured out Highlands missionaries have roads, and they drive in their cars. And every time they drive their car, they're gone from that world of learning the language. We can lose that world. We can lose the immersion necessity. And guys, the reason I talk about 40 hours and the immersion necessity is this. You get 25 hours a weekend, you're only going to say the things that you work for. You get 40 plus, I say 40, and that's 40 minimum.
You get 40 and 40 plus, your mind begins to dream and have nightmares in the language. You begin to say things that you didn't work for. You get the freebies. You're answering things that you just, it's coming. And that doesn't happen after 6 months or 12 months. But you do 18, 20, 25 months of 40, you're completely immersed. You don't have the car cocoon. You will be a fluent speaker. You'll be a communicator. It takes great discipline. It's really 20, 25 months of no fun. No fun. He is taking public transport, obviously the corollary of no vehicle, public transport. He's involved in local issues, food, sports. He's looking at on this new country as his home and the home of his kids. That's the great delineator. People that they try to do it as a husband or a husband and wife, but their kids, no, we want our kids to be connected to their uncles and aunts and grandparents. Trojan horse, folks. Achilles heel, call it what you will. Those are chinks in the mindset of becoming fluent, becoming one with the fabric of the people you've located among, that the people that you're there to bring Christ to, your kids, is that really going to be your Achilles heel? Is that going to be your weak link? Your kids. Oh, I'm prepared to suffer, but not my kid. And I get that. I just wrote an article on that in the Radius Report. I get that. It's a lot easier for a mom or dad to burn up with malaria than watch their kid. That's totally normal. And we better think that through, because by the scars sometimes of your kids will the gospel be enhanced. God will actually allow those things to touch your kids. Those are beneficial for the gospel among the teddies. He's looking, okay, not coming back to his home country for big family events. Oh my gosh. Well, my church has the money. They want me to be here for my second aunt's third wedding. I'm using that because that's just crazy off the charts. Everybody here like, oh, come on, stay there, do your job. When you're in language study, you don't come home. When you're in language study, you don't come home. You stay and stay and stay and stay and stay. And the brother gets married, your best friend gets married. This happens, and we know there will be father who doesn't know the Lord, who's having actually his last 2 weeks, and yes, we understand there will be exceptions. But the exceptions have become the rule, folks. Missionaries crossing the oceans at enormous rates because the money's there. Our church is behind it. Yeah, you know what? The church will oftentimes, there's a lot of good-hearted folks that, you know, they're getting tore up over this. And you know what? Your agency, I know the agency I was with, man, we lost the ability to say no. We look like a bunch of joy killers, you know? And it's really on the missionary. It's on the missionary alone to make that commitment. I'm staying. Because I lose a few days getting there. I lose a few days while I'm there. But you know what? I lose way more than that. I become transient to me, and I become transient to my people. They need to know I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. I become part of the fabric. They become bored with me, in fact. He's not attending all the missionary agency functions. Dear friend from this church, serving overseas. Man, the assaults on his reputation, because he doesn't go to all the team meetings. Oh, we just want to get together 3 nights a week, you know, have time of prayer. Well, I'm actually here to learn the language of this country. You better be prepared for that, okay? You're not a team player. You might have to endure that. His first term on the field, he is there long term. He's not there 2 years. He is not there 2 years. He's not, because 2 years, I can hold my breath actually for 2 years. I remember looking at those jets the first 6 months that we were on the field. I look at those jets, and man, they're 36,000 feet, man, they're not sweating. They got stewardesses serving them coffee and tea. Oh, gosh, I'd love to be. Every jet control going over the jungle. I long to be on every single jet. I don't even care where you're going. Just get me on there. Oh, man. That first term was so hard. It's critical. You're there. You're just there. Going home isn't even part of the equation. Churches, do not talk about their furlough time. Don't increase the furlough fever genetic pool that's already coursing through their veins, okay? They need to be there, be there, be there. Confining his internet usage, forcing himself into the host community, not communicating with home country, leveraging loneliness. We've talked about all those things. Guys, this is the mentality. He is charging for this. The pedantic, methodical, I'm pacing myself, pace. There are certain endeavors that's called for, that, you know, and the growth of the church, I've seen guys try to speed through a translation. Because once you get believers, spiritual growth does only happen at a certain given rate of time. You can't turn people that are 3 years old in the Lord into 10-year old in the Lord, okay? There's just a knowledge quotient and a growth and a maturity quotient that you just can't do anything about. It takes time to raise up spiritual leaders. Leaders of the next churches do not happen instantaneously. But as far as language, getting language, you better arrive with the motor and you better be able to make progress real, real soon once you're there. Because once you're there long enough, you begin to wear down. You just do. And you'll cave into that. And so, man, being equipped once you get there is critical. Man, you'll see it all the time. We hear it all the time. Missionaries that cave in. I can get by. I can get by. I knew he understood me. We can get by. I can handle that situation. I can. It just happens as missionaries allow themselves to digress to that. Paul's example here, obviously a different thing in focus. His own personal journey, his desire to do life exceedingly well. But that same focusness, that same drive, not just in language study, but especially in language study, because there's other things. I can't bring the same energy to church planning and discipling that I can to language study. I can't force feed that one. I need to be in tune with biorhythms of the village. I need to be in tune with a lot of elements that are way out of my control. But language is on me. And I think Paul's words are, I've become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might say some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel. I've put my life on hold, and I tell you what, I thank God for a wife who understood this. And she backed me up. And honestly, guys, there were times in my acquiring of the Itetti language, I got tired. It wasn't coming fast enough. And I began to find things to do around the house. Man, I had a good week, you know. I've got like 36, 37 hours in. It's Friday morning. I'm just tired. You know, that hole, man, the thatch is opening up. I can actually see blue sky through my roof. Honey, I think I'm just going to, in a few days. And she'd sense my motivation waning. And more than twice, I know two times that I'm remembering, my wife sat me down. And if you know my wife at all, this is out of character for her. But not with a finger in my face, but pretty close. Honey, I'm here raising these kids, doing the medical work, and doing all that I do so that you can learn language. Now get out there and do it. Having a wife that was committed and pushing me out the door, not giving me reasons, not giving me, you know what, it's really hard for me to do the math end. Would you stay home, just do the math end for the kids and their homeschooling? We better be living more efficiently. We're not out to do Little House on the Prairie, just do life overseas. Oh, we got this really cool lifestyle. Sending missionaries overseas is not the goal. Having them live a long time overseas is not the goal. To have missionaries live a long time overseas only takes one thing. They just don't need to die, okay? That's pretty easily attained. Just shut your mouth, hang out, you know, and eat food, you know, and you'll get the 20-year mark, 30 years even. Our job is effectiveness. To actually complete the Great Commission, folks. We're all here because we love the Lord Jesus, and we want to see, man, the Great Commission happened, accomplished, fulfilled, every tongue, tribe, and nation having worshipers before the throne of God. And to do that, number one step, we raise people up, we train them, they go overseas, they learn the language of the people they're going to. It cannot be any other way. It's not difficult, it's not hard, it's not rocket scientist, but it is hard. And there are no easy solutions to this. Paul's mindset, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I'm focused, I'm driven, I know my goal, I know how to get there. I do not fight like a man beating the air, no, I beat my body and make it my slave. It is a grueling endeavor. For us, it was the climate and the situation. For other guys, in many of the people groups that we're training our people to go to, it will not be the climate. It will be the frustration of finding people to be language helpers. It will be the late nights, spending time where those guys are at night because in the daytime everybody's working. It's going to be your family. And I know the guilt I went through when I wasn't there tucking my kids into bed. Month after month after month, mostly gone because that's where the Itettis were. That's when they socialized. And you better realize, for this season of life, I must adopt a black belt, hardcore mindset. You're not going to casually get through this. And the mindset the Apostle Paul gives to us is exactly the one that the successful language learner has. And if you're not a successful language learner, you're not a clear gospel communicator. Why do we do all this? If we get the gospel wrong, it's heresy. And we are responsible, folks. We are responsible for what people hear from us. Okay? Now, what they do with it is on them. It's on the Lord and on the Holy Spirit. But we are responsible for that clarity. We better own that. And there has been a sense of a cavalierness about this. We're just giving it our best shot. If we get close on this one, guys, eternity is at stake. That's why we do all this. That's why we take language seriously. We're not about language. We hate language. Nobody likes doing language. Oh, there's maybe that one hand. I like it. Well, you're weird. You need counseling. Okay. Let's go ahead, have lunch. We'll meet back here at 10 till 1. We're adjusting on the fly. Have a great lunch. Let's bless the food. And Carl and all the guys back there have it all figured out. Carl, Myra, they've got it. Just follow the directions. And we'll thank the Lord for the food so we can all eat. Father, thank you so much, every man, every woman in this room. Thank you again for their desire to see your message of salvation preached among every tongue, tribe, and nation. That's why we're all here. May we be more effective because of the hours that we spend together. And Lord, may just lift our hearts up, even as we look around and see other people that are energized by the same things that you've gripped us with. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the food. Thanks for Carl and Myra and all the hands that have gone into doing this. Bless our time together as we fellowship now. In Jesus' name, amen.